With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, that's with Dom on a Thursday. Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Coming up, Dan just spotted this. NBC 10 helps out our buddies over there. They have a map up of local school districts. And there are some that at least at this point are going back 5 days a week, or that's an option in person. But it's pretty rare. We've been citing them. They say Ridley is, and I think they've been very creative with this. So we'll give you that, but it ties right into our guest. Saw him again last night with Laura, I guess it was. Alex Berenson is the former New York Times reporter. We first had him on when he wrote this massive book as far as data and insight about marijuana, the severity of marijuana today, and things associated with that. His new book, Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns, Part 2, Update and Examination of Lockdowns as a Strategy. Wow, he's killing us with the titles there. But this guy is somebody who is a national go-to, and we're honored to have him back with us in Philadelphia. Alex, you're back on Talk Radio 1210. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, Dom, thanks for having me. And, you know, the title, it's funny, I was hearing you read it, and I was like, wow, that's a long title. And, you know, it's kind of funny in a way that it is so long. But here's the thing, you know, on Twitter, and I don't know if you follow me on Twitter.
But, I do.
But
yes.
I can be pretty, like, aggressive and a little bit, a little bit angry maybe or sarcastic at people who I think are not telling the truth and stuff like that. And the booklet is different. Okay. The booklet is, as far as I'm concerned, a true work of journalism. And so it's sourced and it's, you know, it's long and it's sort of, you know, it's very, I don't want to say it's slow, but I want people to understand the depth and the breadth of the evidence. And that's how I presented it in the booklet. And so the title sort of reflects that. But because people need to understand what a mistake we have made in the last few months, and that people out there in the public health community told us that this was going to be a mistake before March. And then everything got thrown out in March when we locked down. And now the media and some of these public health experts, especially on the left, won't admit it. And they're actually pushing to lock down again, which
that's
is just
why,
so insane.
That's why I wanted to have you on when I saw that with Lauren. She was intuitive to get to that. Our gut is sensing we're starting to hear that again. And after the initial mistake, I guess you can chalk that up to unintended consequences. Yeah, but the second time around, I got to say, Alex, I don't know about you then when that happened, because you're on top of this more than I. But some kind of situation like that intuitively told me there is some benefit to it. But then as it dragged on, as it started to morph and never end, and here in Pennsylvania, you know, I don't know how much you've analyzed here. It was ridiculous, the winners and losers picked. There's no science with these guys, these governors, toward what they do and what they don't do. It's obvious.
Oh, you mean in terms of reopening? Like, oh, you can reopen a restaurant, but not a bar, but you can reopen
right.
a bar.
Exactly.
Chicken
Only
wings,
on Tuesdays, but right.
Chicken wings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the shock of the nursing home, and they still double down on this, and the media will not at least. The media is I usually think, I don't know about you, and you were inside the New York Times. I know about agenda driven, but on a lot of levels, I think they're kind of incompetent first and agenda driven second.
Yes, I mean, that's true. And there's a lot of reporters who don't understand math and don't like math. And, you know, one of the things I said on Laura last night, which, you know, I almost hadn't realized how true it was until I said it, is, okay, you want to attack the president of the United States? Fine, have at it. It's a democratic society. You know, if you're Jim Acosta and you want to ask him nasty questions, you don't respect the office, okay, so be it. Like, that's our society. But do the same thing to the scientists. Don't be afraid of them. Ask them tough questions. And you don't have to go into the details of how the spike protein binds to the receptor in the cell. Like, those are complicated technical scientific details. But you can ask somebody, you recommended X 5 months ago, and suddenly you changed it. Why did you do that? Explain it to me in words that I can understand.
Exactly.
And that does not disrespect, you know, your scientific credentials or anything like that, any more than asking Donald Trump hard questions disrespects the office of the presidency. That's what we're supposed to do as reporters.
That is beautifully put. That's exactly. Because, look, I held Dr. Fauci in pretty high esteem over the years. I saw him on Sunday shows and all the rest of it. A couple things coming out of this, though. He's been wrong quite a bit. He is a bit of a grandstander. And I just don't think the media has pushed back on him enough appropriately. And if they are unskilled, they can't do it scientifically enough, then the Nationals ought to be putting their scientific reporter in there with them. You know, and the other guy I've completely lost respect for is Sanjay Gupta. I used to sort of have a modicum. He's just a hack during this. I don't know if you feel the same way on CNN.
I mean, honestly, I basically don't watch CNN, and nor do I watch Fox that much. I get my data from scientific journals, from government, databases. I'm looking to the primary evidence, and obviously most people aren't going to be able to do that. Most people have jobs.
Okay, well, Alex, let me interrupt. Just have the lightning bolt hit me. What I wanted to ask you, and I could talk to you all day, but I wanted to ask you this then. Okay, we are on this here because my background is I'm a former teacher that got into this, and I'm used nationally on education issues. Why some schools are opening, it seems to be chance. They're not following the science. Here's what I wanted to ask you, though.
Yeah.
If for a school to reopen safely at the highest level, I'll put it that way, because I trust your judgment. What should they be doing then to reassure parents that optimally we're taking every precaution we can, yet we're not going to just go hybrid, we're going to go 5 days a week? What should they be doing?
Okay, do you want to know what they should really be doing or what they have to be doing as a result of this panic and, you know, liability? What they should be doing is reopening, period. Reopen the schools.
Okay.
No special precautions. There is no need because the CDC, the Center, this is what I'm talking about when I say the data is out there. The Centers for Disease Control, the director of the Centers for Disease Control said in mid-July, okay, not 3 days ago, he said in mid-July that the odds that a child under the age of 18 will die from the coronavirus are 1 in 1 million, much lower than the flu. Okay, that should have been reported everywhere. It should have been front page news everywhere. It should have been on CNN and everything. Once you know that, everything changes. Okay, children are at extraordinarily low risk from this. And for us to sacrifice their schooling and make them do a bunch of stuff that's going to scare them, like wear masks or discourage them from socializing with each other, is all insane.
Okay.
Okay.
But then we get to the teachers.
Teachers are pretty low risk. Yes. Okay. So teachers, the average age of a teacher in the United States is 42. Now there are going to be some older teachers. Teachers are generally at pretty low risk from this. Now there may be a few who are not. Okay. If they have uncontrolled diabetes, if they're morbidly obese, you know, these people who are in really bad health and who are, you know, over the age of 50 have a real risk from coronavirus.
Okay.
Now, so those people we should try to accommodate. Okay. Whether that means getting them out of the classroom. I mean, I don't know. I don't really want a morbidly obese teacher with uncontrolled diabetes teaching my kids anyway. I'm not sure that person's going to do a great job teaching my kids, but we should try to accommodate that person. But for the kids, if all we care about is the kids, then the school should be reopened 5 days a week with no special precautions. And believe me, some of these kids will get coronavirus, just like they get the flu and just like they get colds, and they will be fine.
Okay, now what about
with the other rare exception?
The other element that's argued, the third element, Alex, is this, that they'll bring it home then. You know, people are elderly, grandparent may be living with them or they see them or whatever. What about mitigating that risk?
So there's pretty good evidence that children actually are much more likely to get the coronavirus from adults than to give it to adults because their immune systems clear it so fast that mm-hmm. the spreading tends to work the other way. I'm not saying it's impossible that children can give it to adults, although a British scientist said about 3 weeks ago that there had been no documented case anywhere in the world of a child giving this to a teacher. Not a family member, but a teacher.
Tell listeners. Go ahead. Alex, I was going to ask. Tell listeners what country or countries, because you're the guy worldwide that drills down on this, is it Sweden that you think has done the best approach to this, or is it somebody else?
No, it looks like Sweden and maybe Japan. I mean, for reasons we don't really understand, Japan has essentially had no epidemic, and they've done that with no testing almost and no lockdown at all. So they've been very successful. The Swedes have been quite successful. But just to go back to the school. So look, here's the thing. If the basis of our public policy is no child is ever allowed to get an adult sick with the flu or coronavirus or anything else, then we can never have schools. We might as well just go back to living in the woods. Okay, like we have to have a society that functions, and part of that is having schools. And if that happens, there's going to be some transmission of infectious diseases between children and adults. I don't understand how we've gotten to a place where the only acceptable risk with the coronavirus is no risk. It is not compatible with a functioning society.
All right, well put. Where do we find your book, Alex? What's the best place to go?
You can get it on Amazon and on Apple, and I'm happy to report that as of this morning, the paperback version, the physical version, is now available because a lot of people seem to like the physical version because, you know, you can write notes sure. on it and stuff like that.
Good stuff. Unreported Truths and COVID-19 Lockdowns Part 2, Update and Examination of Lockdowns as a Strategy. Wow.
Just call it Unreported Truth.
All right. There you go. Alex, thank you for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.